Because we end up focusing on the, you know, the problems and the difficulties and the hardships, you know, we focus so much on the hunger and thirst and I got to control myself and I can't sleep on time and my whole life's, you know, fake materialistic schedule has been shaken up and there's this kind of another divine schedule that I have to follow for this certain amount of time. Because we do that, then we don't really value the holy month of Ramadan as we should.
Ramadan al-mustabin jaa bin nur al-mubin. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan al-qanitin.
Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we are talking about the blessings of the holy month of Ramadan. There are so many blessings, and really, you know, with so many days now passed in the holy month of Ramadan, and you know, it's kind of sad to realize that the holy month of Ramadan is coming towards an end. But we should kind of look past at these days that have gone and these nights that have gone and kind of list some of these beautiful blessings that we had. You know, for example, these community iftars where we went and with the community or with a couple of families, we sat together and we laughed and we broke our fast and we prayed. This is something which is a blessing, and you can talk about every one of them, right, in a day and age where you don't have time for anything in the holy month of Ramadan to be able to go and socialize with good, righteous, noble people, you know, of like mind. That is a huge blessing. Or, you know, at the time of Sahri, at the time of Suhoor, when we are eating that pre-dawn meal and we are spending time with our family members, what a beautiful time that is. You know, sure, you're kind of tired and groggy, but still, that conversation that comes up at that time is truly a blessing, and that connection that you establish with your family members, that itself is a great blessing. And, you know, and there's so many blessings that, you know, I mean, I'm pretty much done with time over here, unfortunately, but, you know, with yourself, you are purifying yourself, you're learning self-control, you are learning to rise above the materialistic realm and reach the spiritual realm, or this beautiful connection that you are establishing with the Almighty Allah. These are all just a few of the great blessings of the holy month of Ramadan, which we can continue throughout the rest of the year in our Islamic lifestyle. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z. Don't forget to visit our website at parsetoday.ir/EN Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
You lift me up high, you spread my wings and fly me to the sky. So alive, it's like my soul thrives in your light. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around.
In the limelight.
Since the start of war on Gaza, the Zionist regime has expropriated 27 square kilometers of Palestinian land and accelerated settlement building. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East, I wrote, Palestinians this year marked the 48th anniversary of Land Day amid the brutal Israeli regime war on Gaza. Near daily raids in the occupied West Bank and an increase in land confiscation and settlement building. On March 30, 1976, six Palestinians were martyred by Israeli regime forces as thousands of Palestinians in Israel's northern Galilee region rose up in protest against the Israeli expropriation and occupation of Palestinian lands. The event became known as Land Day and a symbol of national struggle that unites Palestinians around the world. Recently, under the banner of Stop the War on Gaza, thousands of Palestinians marched through the Palestinian town of Deir Hana, one of the towns in the occupied territories called Israel, where the most violent crackdown on protesters took place that day in 1976. Land Day is also seen as significant because it is deemed to mark the first time that Palestinian citizens of Israel organized collectively against the Zionist regime policies. Palestinian citizens of Israel make up around 17.5% of the population and are descended from Palestinians who were not expelled by Zionist militias during the creation of the fabricated regime of Israel in 1948. Palestinian protesters recently also marched through the city of Sakhnin in northern Israel, where three of the six Palestinians were buried almost five decades ago, Arab 48 reported. They then visited the family homes of Raja Abu Raya, Khadar Khalaya and Khadija Sawana and laid wreath on a monument honoring all six martyrs. The other three Palestinians martyred that day were Khair Yasin, Mohsen Taha and Rafat Zuhairi. The most important thing that the martyrs gave on Land Day in 1976 was the belief in the right to our land, Ahmad Khalaya's brother said in a speech at the cemetery. From Sakhin, the protesters marched to the cemetery in the neighboring city of Araba to pay tributes to Yasin. Palestinians also paid homage to Zuhairi and Taha in their respective hometowns of Taibe and Kafar Qana. A relative of the martyr Khadija Sawana, Wafa, said in her speech, Land Day is a turning point in the history of our people. It is a departure from the machine of oppression, emergency laws, and military rule without fear. And today, after all these years, we are still suffering from emergency laws and military rule. Since that day in 1976, Palestinians have engaged in widespread activities to commemorate Land Day and demand an end to the Zionist regime racial discrimination, in particular land and housing policies that have turned their towns into closed ghettos. Demonstrations in cities around the world were also organized recently, including in London, New York, Madrid, Rabat, and Beirut. As Palestinians prepared to commemorate the Land Day, Israeli regime forces carried out several overnight raids across the West Bank, killing a 13-year-old boy, Nabil Abu Abed, in the town of Qabatia, south of Jenin. In Ariha, the Zionist regime forces stormed the city in the morning, raiding several homes and interrogating residents. They also tightened military measures at the checkpoints set up at its entrances for the third consecutive day, denying movement of Palestinian vehicles into and out of the city. Meanwhile, in a report released recently, the Colonization and World Resistance Commission, CWRC, said the Zionist regime has seized 27,000 dönems, 27 square kilometers of Palestinian land in the West Bank since the start of the war on Gaza. The CWRC, a governmental commission affiliated with the Palestine Liberation Organization, said that 1,895 settlement units have also since been approved by the Zionist regime, displacing 25 Bedouin communities from the Palestinian territory. The report added that some 840 checkpoints and gates have been set up in the West Bank. The Zionist regime military has carried out 9,700 attacks against Palestinian residents and their properties and have destroyed and uprooted 9,600 trees, mostly olive trees, the report said.
Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said, "Whoever remembers us, the Ahlul Bayt, and his or her eyes fills with tears, his or her face will never burn in the fire of hell."
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, all trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, what an amazing persona we are humbly discussing. What's really amazing is that despite the passing of so many different programs, we still have so much to say about Imam Ali alayhi salam. But perhaps what is even more profound than this statement is the fact that over 1,000 years have passed, and over these thousands of years, people of all faiths and denominations have spoken about the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and they continue to speak about the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Is it not a miracle and just absolutely incredible that people, even in the present day, are able to still talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam in new aspects, in new angles, and these different kind of topics, and we can learn so very much even in the present day. And really, the only way that one can understand something like this or understand such a phenomenon is because Imam Ali alayhi salam, in his lifetime and even after his lifetime, is connected to the eternal, connected to the divine, connected intimately to the Almighty Allah. And so it is because of this intimate connection with the divine and with Almighty Allah that the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam has been able to transcend time and space and place, and a very beautiful and intriguing point in it of itself. You know, one of the things that we find in this absolutely amazing persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is the concept of always praying on time. You know, this reciting the salah on time at its prescribed time is something that, you know, badihi. It's very aware. It is very clear. It is very logical and rational that this be a part of the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. You know, but His Eminence also really emphasized this to his companions and to his friends. There's a very famous letter that Imam Ali alayhi salam writes to Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, you know, who was raised in the household of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, he really considered Imam Ali to be his father, even though Imam Ali wasn't his blood father. But Imam Ali alayhi salam writes a letter to Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, and he talks about how observe the timing of the prayer and perform it at its prescribed time, and don't hasten the prayer, praying it earlier than the prescribed time in order to get rid of it. Or on the other hand, don't delay the prayer from its prescribed time because of some work that you are busy in. So this very basic command, and of course, you know, we saw that Imam Ali alayhi salam praying in the masjid, the Fajr prayers, the famous Fajr prayers, dawn prayers of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where His Eminence is struck by a poisoned sword. To this extent, we find that His Eminence is observing the times of prayers, and that's what we should do as well. I know it's very difficult. I know there's a lot of things that come up. I know at times because of school or because of work, or because of a lot of other things and the things that we become busy in, it becomes difficult to pray the times at their prescribed timings. But, you know, in order to not make anybody's life difficult, because that's not what is happening, and that's what's not what is intended, but really we should try to pray as close as we possibly can to the prescribed prayer timings. It's very important. It increases the value and the importance of that prayer. May Allah help all of us to be able to pray at the prescribed times, by the grace and blessings of Allah. A very comprehensive lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
And now we invite you to listen to Fayyaz Ja'far.
So when we come toward understanding this notion of having internal justice, the main theme of this letter of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen to Malik al-Ashtar is to emphasize in terms of cultivating his own relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so he's able to make a difference outwardly. And this brings me toward the point of my discussion, in regards to what then are the practical steps that we can take in light of the words of the Commander of the Faithful toward Malik al-Ashtar. Today again, as I mentioned before, we are literally bombarded with images every single day of such real atrocity, of such poverty, of such vilification, children who are dying, women who are widowed. And every single day we hear new tragic episodes of cases, people within our very own communities who are being isolated by their own husbands, by their own fathers, by their own children, whatever it might be. And in the name of Hussein, in the name of Ali, in the name of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, what are we going to do to make a stand for people who are being oppressed? We could talk about Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, alayhi salatu was-salam, and his tragedy all day. But the emphasis is in allowing for his light to shine within ours so we're able to make a difference in the world that we're living in. These days, people in our communities, we're hearing stories about, for instance, what's happening to the Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar and Bangladesh. We're hearing about, again, the children in Yemen, 5 million plus orphans in Iraq, racism within our own communities. We as a community are really, really good that whenever we hear about any tragedy, we're very quick to like raise a lot of money, send it on PayPal, Venmo, make a contribution, and then we're done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the Holy Quran, He states, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That you will never attain righteousness until you give out of that which you love the most. And many mufassireen of this particular verse of the Qur'an, they state that the thing that the person that humanity loves the most is the face of Benjamin Franklin. Forgot, I'm speaking to Canadians. Who's on the $100 bill in Canada? Whoever that guy is, right? The people love money. People love wealth. People love tangible items. So many of the commentators of the Qur'an, they state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating in regards toward this verse of the Qur'an, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that you will only attain righteousness if you give out of that which you love the most, and in reality that's your wealth. But I swear to God, we don't love our wealth the most. We don't love it as much as we love ourselves. To give out of yourself is far more impactful than anything else. Which is why in the letter of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen toward Malik al-Ashtar, he tells him that be with the people. Be present with the people. Spend time with your subjects. Know your subjects. If you really want to make a difference within our tradition, is to have a smile on your face. That's giving sadaqah.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Ramadan in the UK.
Part 2.
Islam is probably the most demonized religion in Britain, and Muslims are regularly the subject of negative media headlines, usually associated with extremism and terrorism. Faced by this onslaught, it can be difficult for Muslims to get their side of the story across, but that doesn't mean they're not trying.
Ramadan is perhaps the best time of year for Muslims to showcase their religion, and that's exactly what several initiatives across the UK have done, such as the Ramadan Tent here in central London, which welcomes up to 300 Muslims and non-Muslims every night to break the fast. And the idea behind these initiatives is very simple, that intimate human contact can break down barriers like nothing else.
The Ramadan Tent Project is run by student volunteers and adopts a gentle, non-confrontational, even subliminal approach when showing non-Muslims what Islam is. It seeks to demonstrate the values of Islam by setting an example instead of preaching, to build bridges between cultures and encourage interfaith dialogue through the simple act of sharing a meal.
We've been able to foster a platform for interfaith dialogue to explain, you know, the actual beautiful values of our religion, you know, and feel the community spirit most of all. I think, you know, when you look and you see, you know, just people of all different colours and races sitting on the floor eating together, I think, you know, I think that's what it's about.
I grew up religious, so when I came across what was going on, I was really intrigued with the idea of fasting and praying, and so I wanted to learn more. And just the experience of meeting some of the best people I've ever met who have such sincere intentions, it made me want to get involved and learn more about what they were doing here and what Ramadan means.
Every night during the month of Ramadan, a different speaker gives a short talk here to everyone gathered. Then, after the Maghrib or sunset prayer, the fast is broken with rice, meat, fruit, desserts, and tea. Sometimes Islam won't crop up in conversation at all. But friendships are built, curiosity is aroused, and perhaps stereotypes would have been broken.
I think that I kind of really identified with the Muslim community by their standards, not drinking alcohol and fasting and things like that. So I didn't have any negative perceptions, but I think that being involved in a community helped me to understand the Muslim community even more and to be able to share that with my community back in the States.
Stephen Mills and Steve Smith are getting a sneak preview of the feast that awaits them in a few hours' time. These two non-Muslim teachers from Oldham in the north of England have been fasting all day as part of an initiative called Share Ramadan, the brainchild of Manu Mia, another teacher. It's around 5:30 p.m.
Working in such a high Muslim school, I thought it'd be a brilliant experience for me to see what not only the colleagues that I have, but the kids that I teach go through. I just thought it'd give me a bit of an insight into what they go through and understanding.
How's it been for you so far? So you didn't get up for breakfast, first mistake, right?
No, yeah. I ate at about 11:30 last night. No, I didn't wake up. I'm not feeling too bad, actually. I thought hunger would be the big thing because I've got a healthy appetite, I want to say. But it's been the thirst that's really, really challenged me.
Did you know much about Ramadan? Why Muslims fast?
This is my second year doing it, and I'd say the first reason I did it was because, coming from my background, I had very little idea about Muslim religion, about Ramadan, the importance of it, why do it. So the first thing was I wanted to get to know more about it. That was my first reason for even doing it.
And how are you finding it?
Not too bad. Hunger has been okay. Lunchtime, walking around seeing some people eat, that was a bit difficult. Kind of had to turn away from that. Thirst is the main one. After about 10 or 11, it started to kind of kick in. Love a glass of water. And you kind of sometimes go to reach for it. And it's, no, can't.
Challenge, invite, share. Share Ramadan.
Share Ramadan has become something of a social media phenomenon. Challenge a non-Muslim neighbour or colleague to fast for a day, break the fast with them, and share the moment and experience on social media. It's got non-Muslims all across Britain experiencing the Ramadan fast.
First day, I'm always told, is the hardest of the fast anyway. I was approached by one of my colleagues, Nanu Mir, to take part in the challenge.
It's a great way to get to know people, of course.
Share Ramadan started when the Muslim community were getting a lot of bad press. One thing I realized, you know, the media isn't on our side and saying so much things and certain headlines are putting the lives of many innocent people at risk. So what can we do? You know, you have children, and would you want to leave them behind wealth or money? You know, why not? You know, that is fair and that is safe. And that will only come about is when there is an understanding, and the barriers of fear and suspicion, when they have disappeared from our society.
It is that, for me, it's been that sacrificing things that you take for granted every day. Like, you know, people struggle for water, and I can just go and get one anytime, a glass of water or a drink of water anytime I want. People struggle for food, but, you know, at the end of this, I know I'm going to sit down with 10 or 12 friends and have a lovely meal.
Before I started working in the job I'm in now, all I knew about the Muslim faith was what I read, typically on media, newspapers, whatever it be. Then I've actually become friends with them, and I would like to think with Nana, who's invited me into his house to do Shah Ramadan, not only have I found out about the Muslim culture, but I've become closer with him, with other friends, so we can talk about anything. It doesn't have to be about Muslim, but it just means that there's not that kind of them and us type culture.
A few hours later, and at last, it's nearly time to break the fast. Nanu lays on a delicious Bangladeshi meal in his front room, enough to satisfy any appetite, while around a dozen Muslim and non-Muslim colleagues and friends laugh and joke. Finally, it's time to tuck into the food. Stephen and Steve are obviously very relieved men.
It's the last Friday of Ramadan, and thousands of Muslims are preparing to march through the streets of central London, condemning Zionism and supporting the Palestinian resistance struggle, as they do every year during the annual Al-Quds March. Now, Ramadan is obviously mostly associated with spirituality and quiet reflection, but it's also a time when Muslims increase their efforts to promote justice in the public arena.
This Jerusalem Day march took place a year after Israel's war on Gaza, which killed over 2,000 Palestinians and devastated the infrastructure of the besieged territory. The Palestinian struggle against Israeli occupation and aggression has always been at the center of Islamic politics and has unified Muslims from different nations and traditions since Israel was created. The march climaxed outside the US Embassy in London, where, again, the centrality of the Palestinian cause for Muslims around the world was emphasized.
And today the people of Muslim countries around the world stand shoulder to shoulder with moral-seeking people in the support of the Palestinian nation and gather in the streets to remind the world of the barbaric crimes and atrocities of the occupying Zionist regime.
Zionist is a criminal conspiracy, a colonizing project which will only be complete with the disappearance of the Palestinian people.
This year's Ramadan also saw the high-profile launch of an attempt by a Sufi Muslim group to counter the Takfiri ISIL narrative, which has attracted a tiny minority of British Muslims. Pakistani scholar Taher al-Qadri unveiled a draft school curriculum in London which condemned ISIL and extremist ideology. Qadri, who has previously declared Takfiri's non-Muslim, said it was essential to teach people that terror was a violation of Islam.
Whatever philosophy and ideology is being propagated and practiced and enforced by ISIS or other terrorist organization, in part it was Al-Qaeda and Taliban and all those people, this is just an enmity and violation of Islam and Quran and the Prophet's conduct.
The initiative wasn't without its critics within the Muslim community itself, who said that it placed the emphasis on the Muslim community to clean up its act, while downplaying major factors behind radicalization, such as British foreign policy, Islamophobia, and racism. Nevertheless, there is general consensus amongst British Muslim leaders that the ISIL mentality and the Takfiri narrative needs to be driven out of the community.
Ramadan being a very difficult and challenging time for Muslims. We've had killings in Kuwait, we had murder taking place in Tunisia and other parts of the globe. So that kind of really affects the Muslims living in this country, in Leeds, because our name has been tarnished, our faith's been abused. Those who commit murder in the name of God, they are absolutely an affront to human dignity and an insult to God.
As the holy month of Ramadan draws to a close, British Muslims will really look forward to the festival of Eid. Now, Eid lasts about 1 or 2 days and is characterized by lots of socializing, delicious food, and fun activities for the children. It's a joyful occasion which marks the end of a month of really hard self-sacrifice. And British Muslims will hope that they can carry forward the lessons they've learned during the month of Ramadan and implement them during the course of the rest of the year.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرج.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Dear brothers and sisters from all over the world listening to IRB English Radio right now, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran in Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad to have Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Ali Nasir with me. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, and welcome everyone. Ali Nasir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. Great.
Alhamdulillah. And Hassan, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah.
Fine.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So everyone is great and with full energy. So, brothers and sisters, hope you are doing great. Let's get started. And we will be working on Ayah 70, Surah Al-A'raf, on page
159.
So, first and foremost, there is a Quranic recitation of this Ayah. Let's listen to this. Alright?
Yes.
Let's go.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. قالوا أجئتنا لنعبد الله وحده ونذر ما كان يعبد آباؤنا فأتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من الصادقين.
Nice recitation. Inshallah, the same as our previous sessions, we'll be mentioning the important tajweed rules in this ayah. Yeah, just to remember how to recite beautifully with tajweed. And inshallah, we'll explain this ayah a bit as well. So, Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser. I'll read it once, and then Hussein, inshallah, will recite it once. We will be working on the tajweed points. Alright?
Yes.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Let's see what Allah Almighty says in ayah 70. Qalu aji'tana لِنَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ وَنَذَرَ مَا كَانَ يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. This is a very beautiful ayah, and there are a lot of beautiful like points and teachings in this ayah, so we will mention shortly, but I really ask you to refer to the tafsir books. Alright?
Yes.
Okay. So when Prophet Hud alayhi salam, yes, Prophet Hud alayhi salam,
yes,
was sent to the people of Ad, to his people, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, to invite them to worship Allah Almighty and abandon all they were worshipping, the idols. So, what did they say? They kind of insulted the Prophet. They stood up against the Prophet, yes? Not all the people, but some of the influential people, yes? The elites, yes, of the people. So, in this ayah they say, they said, those elites, have you come to tell us that we should worship Allah alone and abandon what our fathers have been worshipping? Then, if you have come to do this, then bring us what you threaten us with. It means bring us the punishment of God. فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا. Yes? Should you be truthful? If you are truthful, bring us the punishment of God. We'll see how the punishment of God hit them. Okay? So, mention the tajweed points, inshallah, during the class. We'll mention some other points that we can learn from this ayah. قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا. So there is an important point. If you can tell me, Hussein, once recite this ayah, Hussein.
Okay, sir.
Yep.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالوا أجئتنا لنعبد الله وحده ونذر ما كان يعبد آباؤنا فأتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من الصادقين.
أحسنتم. Ali Nasser, did he pronounce the mad in the word qalu? He didn't extend the sound, did he?
Yes.
Did he?
No.
No, he didn't. Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he stretch the sound? That was correct, right?
Yes.
But why didn't he do that?
Yeah, because it is jaiz.
So the mad is jaiz?
Yes.
How can I understand the mad is jaiz or the mad is wajib? We have jaiz and wajib, right?
Yes.
So the jaiz one says you can ignore it? You can stretch it?
Yeah.
The wajib one says?
You must stretch.
You must stretch the sound, yeah? So how can I understand this is jaiz and this is wajib?
When the mad letter and the hamza are in same word, so they are, so it's wajib. The mad will become wajib. You should stretch it. But when the hamza and the mad letter are in separate words, so that's jaiz, optional.
Good. Qalu, the mad letter is with the word qalu, and that is waw,
wow,
right?
Yes.
Ajitana is another word.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Itself is a word. It's a questioning word, okay? For example, when you say, I am fine, are you fine? When you bring the word auxiliary verb before the subject in the beginning, that changes to a question. Like that, okay? Aji'tana, Did you come?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So the word a has the hamza, qalu has the waw mat.
Yes.
In separate words, aren't they, Hassan?
Yes.
Yes. So in this case, the mat is just a stretch. Yes. So you can stretch it for 2 counts, 4 counts, 6 counts. It's not wajib, yes? Yeah. Any counts you can do. But you have to pronounce the mad letter, of course. In case they are in the same words, like aba-una, aba-ba, alif mad, hamza, yes? They are in the same word, the word aba. This one is?
Wajib.
Wajib, you gotta stretch it. That's why Hussein extended the sound of it. MashaAllah, Hussein. So قالوا أجئتنا لنعبد الله وحده ونذر ما كان يعبد آباؤنا. What does that sila tell us, Hassan? That should be one important point.
It says that it's better to continue.
Better to continue. Wasl is better than
Waqf,
mashallah, sila tells you better to continue. Do not make a pause. But if you wanted to make a pause,
you can make a pause.
Thank you. Fa'atina bima ta'iduna in kunta min as-sadiqin. In kunta. Hussein, tell us, why did you hide the sound?
Because after noon it's kaf there.
So the, after the letter noon, which is sakin, you have the letter kaf.
And it is from rest of the letters, so we should do it.
Based on tajweed rules, you have to hide the sound of
noon. Yes.
The same as kunta, again, noon is hidden because the letter ta is there. So there are certain letters that tell us you have to hide the sound of noon, which is sakin.
Yes.
Inshallah. The rule is called ikhfa. So you can refer to the tajweed books to learn this. Great. So that was one of the very important points that we learned, that bigotry or prejudice or following somebody simply because they are your forefathers is not okay. So we, as wise people, have to follow things which were really great and correct. Okay? They didn't have any contradictions with our wisdom. But things which oppose our wisdom, have to put them aside. No matter the things that our forefathers were doing, whatever. In terms of believing, you have to follow people who are knowledgeable. So their forefathers, if they were worshipping idols, it means they were?
Wrong.
Were they knowledgeable?
No.
You don't have to follow somebody who is not knowledgeable. Okay?
Yes.
So I will recite this ayah once and let's practice now. We have mentioned some of the important tajweed rules and time to recite it. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Alright. Brothers and sisters, please listen and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قالوا أجئتنا لنعبد الله وحده ونذر ما كان يعبد آباؤنا.
قالوا أجئتنا لنعبد الله وحده ونذر ما كان يعبد آباؤنا
فأتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من الصادقين.
فأتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من الصادقين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, thanks for being with us in IRB English Radio. See you next session. Stay with us. And that's all from us for today. Wassalamu alaikum. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Sevier International Schools for cooperations. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Rizā, peace be upon him, has said, if you are filled with joy when you are with us, the Ahlul Bayt, in the upper reaches of the heaven, then be sorrowful when we are sad, and be joyous when we are joyous.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that the evil Israeli regime will be punished for its deadly air raid on the Iranian embassy in Syria. 7 foreign aid workers are killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza as the death toll from the regime's genocide tops 32,900. Meantime, the Israeli regime conducts fresh raids across the occupied West Bank as part of intensified crackdown on Palestinians there.